being the church, authentic Christian leadership. This is part two of sermon series. And the main lesson we're carrying with us is this. Authentic Christian leaders are trained on the Word of God. That is, they're focused on it, trained on it, educated by it, lived by it, in order to help the church family mature in their faith. Well, last Sunday, we began studying chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians. We learned this, that authentic Christian leadership is trained on God's Word, trained on God's message. We're looking at verses 1 through 6, and we looked at verse 1 last week and found out that authentic Christian leadership is God-sent. And so this morning, we're going to continue with this study, and I'd like to begin with a quote by J. Oswald Sanders. He writes, "If I could define leadership in one word, the word would be influence." Influence. Well, there's no doubt that Paul and his co-laborers influenced the Thessalonian Christians through the preaching of the gospel. That's how they influenced them. They influenced them through giving them the Word of God, the unadulterated Word of God. And so as an authentic Christian leader, whether it's in the Sunday school setting or as the pastor of this church, we have to determine to train ourselves on the Word of God so that we can influence those who we're teaching, who I'm preaching to, our church family, so that we can influence them through the giving of the Word of God, through preaching it, through exhorting it, through proclaiming it. And so the next thing we see here in verse 2 is that authentic Christian leadership are givers of God's Word. Verse 2, look with me there. "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God," listen, "to declare to you the gospel of God," that is the Word of God, "in the midst of much conflict." Well, this is the Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning knowing that we are in need of your Word, for your Word is truth. Lord, we live in a crooked and depraved generation, much like the many before, where the Word has stood resolute, a stop against evil. And so, Father, help us to be people of the Word, that we could be influencers, not like they are on TikTok and these other kinds of things with frivolous things, but be influencers with the Word of God. Lord God, help me to be trained and focused on this, your holy Word, and declare it rightly. Lord, give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a taste for this, the treasure of your Word. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen. Well, we start verse 2 with these words, "But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi." Now, what is Paul talking about? Is he talking about that going on at Thessalonica? No. To find out what Paul and Silas had already suffered in Philippi, you can turn to Acts chapter 16. Now, I'm not going to turn there now for the sake of time, but write that down in the notes. Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 24, we learn exactly what they suffered. Now, these men, just in a brief synopsis here, these men were unjustly attacked by a mob of people. They were stripped of their clothing by that mob, and then they were beaten with many rods by that mob. And after they had been beaten with many rods, they were thrown into prison, not just a prison, but in the very deepest, darkest dungeons of the prison, and then they were chained there. But they didn't last through the night in that prison, as we know. But they were chained there. They were fastened there with their feet in stocks. Now, I've never suffered like that. None of you have either. Not for the Word of God anyway. Not for the message of the gospel. And even though they had suffered physically and were treated shamefully, they were treated unjustly at Philippi, what Paul is telling us here is that in Thessalonica, it did not keep them from giving the Word of God once again. It didn't keep them from preaching the gospel. And as a matter of fact, the Bible says here they preached it with boldness to the Thessalonians. In other words, one theologian said they weren't gun shy. Now, I don't know about you. I don't know how many times you've been door-to-door visiting people and trying to share the gospel or invite them to church. But there have been times when you walk up to a door and you get treated very badly, the door slammed in your face. That could possibly make you not want to do that anymore. But yet you go anyway to the next door. And that's what Paul and Silas and these men are doing. The door was slammed in their face, so to say. But they didn't let that hinder them. They didn't let that stop them. They weren't gun-shy. They were determined, and they were not deterred to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, interestingly, this word suffered means brutal physical abuse. And that's what they suffered in Philippi. And the two words, shamefully treated in the ESV, translates one Greek word, and that means to be publicly insulted. You know that old saying, don't you? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. Sometimes words hurt worse than sticks and stones. And so not only were they brutally physically abused, but they were publicly insulted with outrageous claims that were false. You know, if you tell a lie long enough, it becomes the truth. And so this was a calculated mistreatment of these men in order to publicly insult, publicly shame them, and openly humiliate them. Now, words can really mess with your mind. I don't know about you, but I'll remember one insult more than I can remember 20 good things somebody said to me. That one insult will stick with me longer than any kind of kindness shown to me by words. And it's the same for you too, I would imagine. And I think that's something because of the fall. But words can really close you down, stop you in your tracks, and make you never serve the Lord again. I've seen it happen in churches over and over again. Because words are powerful, almost more powerful than a hit. Words are powerful, and they can mess with your head. And so the people in Philippi were trying to mentally harm Paul and Silas and his co-laborers to keep them from sharing the Word of God. These men were publicly ridiculed, and they were physically and brutally tortured, all for sharing the Word of God, doing God's work. And so these missionary preachers still gave the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Thessalonica. They gave the Word away. They revealed the truth of God to these sinners in Thessalonica, knowing that they could once again experience brutality and harmful words, and yet they were willing to suffer shame for the cause of Jesus Christ. So think about it. After they suffered so badly, mentally and physically, some of us may wonder, how in the world could they continue this work of giving God's Word away in the midst of conflict? Because we know they did have some conflict in Thessalonica. How could they keep doing that? Well, Paul tells us, look at verse 2. He said, we had boldness in our God. You see, that's the problem, isn't it? When we get our feelings hurt, who do we focus on? Our little bitty feelings. We rub them, right? We care for them. And we say, bless their little heart. How could somebody treat me so bad? What did Paul focus on? The boldness of God. Now, I think just being human, if I'd have gone through what Paul did and went through, my feelings would have been hurt too. And I may have been a little gun-shy if I'd have focused on me. But they focused on boldness in God. Remember in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 6, where they had the joy of the Holy Spirit. So, like the joy of the Holy Spirit there that Paul wrote about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, these Christian leaders had the boldness of God working through them. So this was not their boldness, it was the boldness of God. And that boldness had a result. It had things that took place. One theologian says their holy boldness was not self-wrought, but spirit-empowered. Their boldness was not self-confidence that the world extols, but was confidence based solely on their God and their trust that He would sustain them. I think he's right. This word boldness comes from a Greek word that's about a mile long, and I'm not going to try to say what it is. But this is what it means. Their boldness in God, this is what that means, to speak freely. Now, I don't know about you, if I'd have suffered like they did in Philippi, I might hold a punch back. Not them. They spoke freely. In other words, it means a frankness about what they said in speech to the Thessalonians. In other words, one theologian translates this Greek word, they preached fearlessly. Even in the midst of conflict that Paul writes about, these preachers, they spoke freely with confidence. These preachers didn't hold anything back. They weren't trying to please their hearers. That's what Paul writes in verse 4. And so to speak with boldness in God, listen, it may not be nice, but it is the kindness act that you can do. I listened to this guy the other day. He said Jesus wasn't a nice fella, but he was kind. I think that holds a lot of truth. You got in Jesus' way, he knocked you out of the way. You got in Jesus' way, he said, get behind me, Satan, talking to Peter. You did things one way, and that was Jesus' way. That was the only way it was. And if you didn't do it that way, he wasn't nice to you. He was kind, but he wasn't nice. You know, we get those two things mixed up, don't we? Because we think being nice to someone is not speaking the truth to them. But that's one of the least nice things we can do to a person. The nicest thing that we can do to a person, which is full of kindness, is speak the truth of God boldly and freely and frankly to them. A sinner needs to hear they're going to die and go to hell because of their sinfulness. And so these preachers, they spoke with boldness in God. And it may not have been nice, but it sure was kind. And that's what it takes to give the Word of God away in the midst of a hostile crowd. The boldness of God enabled them to, verse 2 says this, to declare the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. This reminds me, when we have no one else to turn to, we always have God. Right? We always have the Lord. He's always with us. His promise, the Great Commission, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He is with us always. When you have nothing else, you still have the Lord. That's a whole lot more than nothing else. Amen? Amen and amen. It also reminds me what Paul wrote about in another of his epistles where he says, His strength is sufficient in our weakness to accomplish what He intends. And so, the boldness that they had came from the Lord. They may not have had the strength, but God did, and God's strength is sufficient in our weakness. You know, another thing, another theologian brought up in as I was studying for this message is that conflict is never a reason to stop giving the Word of God away. It's never a reason. And yet, we allow it to stop us. An encounter with those who would stop us from speaking the gospel is never a reason to surrender the Word of God and run up the white flag, church family. When facing a hostile crowd, when facing conflict for the sake of the gospel, when suffering shame for the word of God, we must be empowered with the boldness of God to speak frankly and freely and preach and exhort people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. One theologian writes, in the ministry, there is always pressure to mitigate the message, to be inoffensive to sinners, to make the gospel acceptable to them. There's just no way you can make the gospel acceptable to sinners. It is offensive. It is offensive. And people will get offended by it, but it's the kindest thing that you can offend them with, the truth of the gospel. But you see, we have no other recourse, do we? Because we cannot compromise when it comes to the giving away of the gospel of Jesus Christ in ministry. We cannot compromise the authentic Word of God. Authentic Christian leadership never compromised on the Word of God. And boy, oh boy, is there not pressure to do that. There's even pressure on me to do that here at this church. Pray that I don't. When the authentic Christian leader boldly gives God's Word without compromise, without pulling any punches, in the midst of suffering, in the midst of conflict, what we're seeing here in Thessalonica is it's bearing much fruit. It's bearing much fruit. And so authentic Christian leaders proclaim God's Word, forgive me, religiously. Amen and amen. Now, that's what authentic Christian leadership does. Now, I just have a few observations here that I want to give to you, and then we're going to move on. And these aren't long, but these are some observations that came to me as I was thinking about this passage. Even after the sermon prep was done, I was still considering all the things and about this passage. And this is one of the things that I feel the Holy Spirit put on my heart. I'm going to blame him anyway. When Paul and his co-laborers came from Philippi to Thessalonica to start an authentic church, to plant an authentic church, they came, the Bible says this way, with boldness in our God to declare to you this single message, the gospel of God. That's all they had. They had no church building. They had no hymn books. They hadn't a piano player. They didn't have an organist. They didn't have bulletins. They didn't have pews. They didn't have a budget. They didn't do a block party. They didn't give away free clothing and free food. They didn't go and do a survey asking an unbeliever, what is it that you want the church to do, like an unbeliever knows? They didn't have any of those things. All they had was one thing. And it was the gospel of God. And they spoke it boldly, and a church was planted. Sometimes, church family, I think we have our eyes on the wrong thing. When the very thing that we need is the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. For with the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit, a new believer is born again. And the church is then added to. That's the way it works. So that's the observation that came to me. Now, don't hear me wrong. I'm not saying don't go do surveys. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't throw block parties. I'm not saying don't give free stuff away. I'm not saying that. I think those things do have a place. But if you're going to plant a church with those stuff, you're missing the mark. Because the only way you can plant a church is with the gospel of Jesus Christ and the movement of the Holy Spirit. And Christians who are willing to boldly speak it frankly, that's how it's done. Amen and amen. Well, it's 11:56 for you clock watchers. And so you'll have to come back next week for the next installment of this message, which will be authentic Christian leadership. Never compromise the truth of God's Word for personal gain. That's next week. Amen and hallelujah. Have you had a good time today? God is good, is He? Not? all the time. Let me close with a little story about the first authentic church and its leadership. Listen up. When the church began on earth, the pastor was being executed as a criminal. The chairman of deacons was out cursing and swearing that he had never even been a part of it. The treasurer was committing suicide. Most of the rest of the deacons had run away. And about the only ones who showed any signs of faithfulness were a few in the ladies' guild who stuck by the Lord. I thought that was an interesting take on the first authentic Christian church and its leadership. You see, the best authentic Christian leader that I can be, that you can be at Liberty Baptist Church, is one that influences you to surrender to Jesus Christ through the preaching and the giving away of the Word of God. That's the best leader I can be. Everything else is just trivial, church family. Everything else is trivial. Now, let me ask, do you know Jesus in a saving way? And if you can say yes to that, let me ask this second question. Are you following Him as the Lord of your life? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You so much for this opportunity to once again share in this spiritual meal that comes straight from Your Word. Use it in our hearts. Use it in our minds. Use it to guide our feet, to guide our lips. And Lord, I'll be the first to admit, it is sometimes very daunting to open my mouth and share the gospel in this world. And yet it is the thing that I need to do. Just like every other member of the church. So Father, give us a holy boldness. Give us the joy of the Spirit. Help us to endure conflict and suffering and ridicule. Help us not be nice, but help us to be kind. By speaking the truth in love, the truth that is embedded in Your holy word. In Jesus' name, amen.